Amen. Thank you, Pat. What a blessing. What a blessing. Have your Bibles. Turn to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91. We'll look at verse 5 and 13. 5 and then 13 of Psalms 91. As I was preparing this sermon, Amy was back, was coming in late Friday night from Alaska. So I told Kim, I said, listen, I want to get my sermon done early this week, so I'm going to start doing it in pieces along with my Bible study. And I know Miss Butler almost died when she came in the office Friday, and my verses were ready to go on Friday. Usually that's a Saturday afternoon when she's by the pool thing. I call her and tell her my verses are done. But that being said, I purposely have blocked off a large portion of time to spend some time in the Word preparing for this message. And I want to tell you something. When a message blesses you in preparation, you know it's going to bless other people. And I'm excited because I've been here 16 years. I've preached on this topic before, but not from this verse and not really from this avenue. And I think it'll really be a blessing to you. You know, we live in a fear-laden world, don't we? Everybody's afraid of everything. People fear death. They fear the future. They fear disease. They even fear public speaking. Many are afraid to be alone. If you're one of those people, I understand, and that's kind of why I'm going to preach on what I'm preaching on today. Fear of being alone, I understand it. It's very comforting, though, to read the Word of God in this psalm. Listen to Psalm 91 and verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." And then skip down to verse 13. It says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Now, I want to begin by saying what I've said a lot of times. When I say an opinion, I always tell you, it's my opinion. Okay, so here's an opinion, all right? I personally enjoy studying the Old Testament more than the New Testament. Doesn't mean that I think the Old Testament's more important than the New, because it's not, nor is the New more than the Old. I enjoy the Old Testament. I especially enjoy Psalms, and listen to that, the lion, the adder, and the dragon. You're going to see in the lion and in the adder, and in the, by the way, what is an adder? Ugh. I hate snakes. We'll get to that later. I'd rather face a lion head on and wrestle with him than I would a rattlesnake any day of the week. How does the lion, the snake, and the dragon fit into fears? Here's what the Bible says about it today. Now, first thing I want to talk about is how we're supposed to face our fears. You can't run from your fears. You can't hide from your fears. You have to face them. Many of you remember when you were young. When you're young, you're generally scared of a lot of things. Your protection is in your mama and in your daddy. And really and truly, a lot of those things, they can't really protect you from, but as long as you can see daddy or you can see mama when you're young, you think everything's A-okay. So they kind of help balance out the fear in your life, but if they're a good mom and dad, they have to eventually teach you that you just can't run to me every time that you get scared, and they got to teach you how to deal with your fears head on. And I'll tell you something, parents, if you have young kids, you better teach them how to deal with fears. Because fears don't leave, fears grow. Amen. And fears manifest themselves in different ways. And we've got to learn, as the Bible says, not to have a spirit of fear. The way to deal with fears is to realize the source of your fears. And you know what that source is? It's the lion, the adder, and the dragon. Now, guess who in the Scripture is referred to as all three of those animals? Satan. He's the lion, he's the adder, a serpent, and he's a dragon. And we're going to go investigate those three names in today's Scripture, and you're going to see how you can handle your fear. First off, let's talk about the lion. I love to watch shows with a lion on it. I mean, man, I eat like a lion eats. I mean, when a lion sees a deer or an antelope, he doesn't knock it down and play with it with its paws and toss it up and down and do all this. Man, it knows its business. And in about 90 seconds, that thing has gone from an antelope to just a few bones. But it's an interesting thing about a lion when you watch them. They are not subtle or sneaky animals. They don't sneak up on you. They come right at you. There's nothing subtle about the attack of a lion. You know what else a lion does? I studied this week. He roars to let you know he's coming. Sorry, Simba. That's how it works. I mean, they get out there and they roar, and that's the warning that, hey, I'm coming. They're not trying to sneak up on you. They're letting out this guttural roar to let you know, game on. What kind of fear does this represent in our life? Here's the first fear I want to talk about. It's undisguised fears. Fears that are not disguised. Death, war, pain, disease. We see them and we know them for what they are, just like a lion. Folks, we can't run from death. Amen? We can't run from war. We can't run from pain, and we can't run from disease. There's rarely a week in my life that I don't deal with death. I'm already dealing with one on Friday. I deal with it all of the time. And people may handle death differently, but everyone needs to understand, if you live here on this earth, you can't run from this thing that's called death. It's going to happen to everybody. We're not made to last forever. It's going to happen to people you love. It's going to happen to your friends. It's going to happen to your family. It's going to happen to spouses, and it's going to happen to children. There's no one here today and no one you know that is not going to have to deal with death. No reason to be subtle about it. It is a fear that you have to deal with. War. Our generation and our country really doesn't understand the concept of war. Yes, I do know my history, and yes, I do understand we have had some conflicts in our time, but nothing like all-in-out war. None of us have really been affected. We go and eat the same foods. We go to the same schools. Nothing has really affected anything in our lives, especially for this younger generation. But those of you that are older, you understand what war is really about. You understand where some people had to come out of being a homemaker and start working to fix and make things for the war. We know people that had a husband that went to war and came back without one. We know families that were split apart forever because of war. War can't be run from, and war is not disguised. There's no such thing as a fake war going on. It happens. War, pain. Pain is something we have to learn to deal with. Suicide is an epidemic in our country today. It is not a pandemic like we deal with COVID. It is an epidemic. It is dealt with in most people's families and friends. There, if you stretch your tentacles out of people that you know, let me tell you right now, you are going to deal with suicide. A lot of suicide comes from the ability for not being able to deal with pain, physical and mental. And by the way, I want to say this with all the love I have in my heart, but when I prepared this sermon, I felt like I should say this. And when I say this, those of you that know people that have committed suicide, do not take wrong what I'm saying. I'm a pastor who has to minister to those that have and minister to those that have not. If you are contemplating doing that, please realize that is always the wrong thing to do. Amen? Understand that is Satan in your mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm a very sensitive guy. Everybody knows that. Many of you have been to services I've done for people that have done just that, and I honor them in the way they should be honored. But I feel led as your pastor, if you're here today and you're struggling with those kind of things, by the way, you'd be surprised how many people do. And if that has been lodged in the back of your mind, know right now, it's the devil working on your mind. It will hurt a lot of innocent people. Don't do it. Get help. Go see someone professional. Go see a pastor. Go see someone that can help you. You can deal with that pain. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world, and the Lord promises not to put on you more than you can bear. Just get your focus right. Pain, disease. Oh, we have disease everywhere. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes. I don't need to go down 100 different diseases. We all know COVID. Is that a word that we're all tired of hearing? Don't know when we're going to be done saying it, but we're tired of it. And it's serious. It's a disease. These are undisguised fears, folks. These are fears that you do have to deal with on a daily basis. Now, I'm going to come back and tell you how to deal with it. Let's talk about the second fear. And it's represented by the adder, the serpent. I thought you would like my serpent story. Kim and I went to Sweetwater, Texas, probably been about 5 years now. And they're famous for their rattlesnake festival. And my friend that lives there says, we're going to go to the rattlesnake festival, we're going to eat rattlesnake, and we're going to see all these rattlesnakes. I'm like, now, they're nowhere near us, right? And she, yeah, no worries. Really cool. Well, we get down there, and these guys are agitating these snakes to see how far they can strike, and put a balloon out there, and it's like, bam, he'll hit that thing. And this one guy's sitting in a rubber waiter suit like I baptize in, and he's just got snakes all around him, just striking him and doing all this. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of snakes. They pay them by the pound of snakes to bring them to the festival, so they find them all over the place. And this guy came out with this big old long rattlesnake, and his rattles were going, and he was holding him by his mouth. And he said, everyone come here that wants to have their picture made with a snake wrapped around their neck. I was sitting there next to Kim, and this guy walked up to me and said, would you like your picture made? I said, I would not, but she would. And Kim had that picture made with that snake, and boy, he said, you? I said, not happening, because I know my luck. It would slip. It hit me in the neck, and here's my luck. I would live through it and be maimed, have to walk sideways, not able to talk, and all that poisoned. I would not have wanted that to happen. So, I didn't do it. But let me tell you why I don't like snakes. Snakes are part of life. I've had snakes come into the church. I've had snakes on my front doorstep. One of the reasons I always step over the crack in my house is because they found snakes in the crack on the front doorstep. I always hop over it because I know just as soon as I use that step, I'm the lucky one that will step on a snake. All right? You may like snakes. You may have teams named after snakes. I'm not here to argue about that. But the devil takes on the form of a serpent. Okay? So, in this passage, he talks about the lion. We're going to get to the dragon later, but the adder, the serpent. Now, this fear is shown as unexpected fear. What does a snake do? Now, I just told you the lion, he roars to let you know he's coming. He's not hiding, buddy. You'll hear him way off. Nothing subtle about it. He's seen you. He wants to eat you. He wants to destroy you. Roar! And then he comes after you. It's not the way the serpent works. The serpent lays in wait. Those people that know anything about a snake, no, a snake usually won't bother you unless you bother them. You step on their territory, and then what do? They strike. And they strike when you least expect it. Most people that get bit by a snake didn't see the snake. They stepped down on it or walked into where it was, and whoom, it came across and hit you. In other words, it's a fear that you don't see coming. A fear that you don't see coming. Now, the Bible addresses this fear in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25, here's what the Bible says. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now, we talked about undisguised fears, but how about unexpected fear? How about this? That dreaded call in the middle of the night. Discovery out of nowhere of a child or a loved one on drugs. A pink slip instead of a pay envelope. You catch my drift. Unexpected fear. Now, for some of you here today, and this would probably be my category, if you're a person that likes everything to be a certain way and you plan everything to go a certain way and you're very rigid and you're very organized, an unexpected fear really, really messes you up. It just messes up everything, and it causes havoc in your life. The Bible makes it clear in Proverbs 3, we're going to have these unexpected fears, and you've got to know how to deal with unexpected fear. Now, here's the next one, all right? So you've got the lion, undisguised. You've got the serpent, the adder, unexpected. Now you've got the unfounded fears, and you know what that is? That's the dragon. Let me talk to you about a dragon for a minute. Who in here has ever saw a dragon? Don't raise your hand because I'm going to have to tell you you didn't if you do. But you've never seen a dragon. Where do they live? Universal Studios. I mean, that, you know, they don't, there's no, they're not hiding somewhere. Only in your imagination. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You can't see them. You can't touch them. You've heard all about dragons. You've never seen one. You see a lion. You see a snake. You don't see a dragon. He lives in your imagination. This represents unfounded fears. And let me tell you, that is going to be probably 90% of your fears. Did you know it? The serpent, the adder, the lion will happen from time to time. The unfounded fears from the dragon are 90% of the fears that you're going to live with. Most of the fears that we have never happen, and they never will. Some people are gripped by fear. They think if they walk out their door, something bad's going to happen to them. If they ride this ride, the ride's going to break. If they get in this car, they're going to have a car accident. If they walk in front of these people, they're going to crash into. You understand what I'm saying? They have all of this phobia and idea of all the negative things that can happen. But most of our fears today are just like the dragon. They're just in our imagination. You know another word for that? Superstitions. Superstitions. Now, listen to this. I saw this in an article this week, and I thought it would interest you. Here's some superstitions that famous people have had in our country. Samuel Johnson, for all of his education, never went in a room with his left foot first. Now listen to this. If so, he would step back and re-enter with his right foot. Golly, can you imagine stopping every time you went somewhere and having that kind of mindset? He wouldn't do it. He had a fear. Julius Caesar. What do you think of with Julius Caesar? You know what he was mortally afraid of? Thunder. He could not take thunder, and he would go underground to escape the sound of thunder. Peter the Great, the Russian Tsar, greatly feared to cross over a bridge. When absolutely necessary to do so, he would cry out in fear. Peter the Great would bawl and squall when he had to go over a bridge. Many hotels, where we vacation every summer, have no 13th floor. I pushed the button, and when I first started going there, I went, where's the 13th floor? It goes from 12 to 14. And then I understand that some out at Disney and different places, that's exactly what they do, superstitions. No 13th floor. I tell you what, if there is one and they want to let me vacation for free on the 13th floor, I'll stay there. But a lot of people won't because it's the 13th floor. You baseball fans know many pitchers, when they go to the dugout after they pitch, you watch them, you know what they do? They get to the line, the baseline, and what do? They jump over it. There's a superstition, don't touch the baseline. If you do, you'll pitch a bad inning the next inning. And many, many pitchers do just that. They hop over the line. Many of us have been in baseball and softball a long time. Somebody tell me what touching that line is going to do to make you bat better or worse or pitch better or worse. Nothing. It's all up here. Somebody started something that they had been on the field and touched the line, and so everybody believes it. Let's be honest, the 13th floor, we got builders in here. It ain't going to make no difference if you're on the 12th floor or 14th floor. 13th floor is going to be just like it. All they're doing is losing out on money. Thunder. My dog. When it starts thundering, we should have named our dog Julius Caesar. Because let me tell you, when that stuff starts rattling, if you're not careful, you'll fall tripping over my dog because here she comes. She doesn't like thunder. What's thunder going to do to you? Nothing. What comes after the thunder can cause trouble, but the thunder doesn't do anything. Left foot, right foot, whichever one you walk, doesn't do. It's all superstition. And you say, boy, what a bunch of idiots. Well, these actually were not idiots. These were all brilliant leaders at one phase or another in their career. By the way, you think their fear's dumb? Be careful. I think Julius Caesar faced down a few men in his life with a sword. I think Peter the Great knew how to fight. So that's one thing you need to remember. When you look at someone's fear and you think it's crazy, remember, Your fear might be crazy to them and vice versa, so don't throw stones. Fear is real. So this unfounded fear, and you say, boy, I'm not afraid of thunder and all, that's good. But think about in life the things that you do fear that you have no reason whatsoever to fear. And they grip your soul, and they decide what you do with your life. They affect your faith, they affect your family, and they affect your walk. I remember when I was young and I first started playing in sports. Mike, you noticed, right now Coach and Todd, been there. It always seems like the same guys on the same teams get hurt. You can go to the bank before you walk out there and start, see, he'll get hurt. He'll get hurt. He'll get hurt. And you know why? If you're a coach, you know exactly why they're going to get hurt. Because when they go out to play, they play in the back of their mind, they have a fear of getting hurt. And any coach knows if you play with that kind of fear in your mind, you are the one that's going to get hurt. Now, I remember my father, I was a little kid, play hard. Play wide open. If you get hurt, it happens. But here's what happens. You won't get hurt. Other people will that are trying to dodge and stay away from getting hurt, that are worrying, that have a fear of getting injured. Fear can control your life. So you say, well, Brother Jeff, a lion, I got a couple of those. Serpent, it's happened to me. So I've had a couple of those fears in my life. And you're right, Brother Jeff. The superstitions, the unfounded fears, they have a grip. Now let's talk about, in our remaining moments, how to fight our fears. Now the first fear was undisguised. Remember that. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn, you can, but I'll read it to you. Revelation 1:18. Here's what the Bible says. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys, listen to this, of hell and of death. How do we fight our fears? Number one, trusting in the resurrected life of Jesus will conquer those undisguised fears. Who has the keys to death and hell? Answer me. Somebody tell me. Jesus does. Get rid of that fear. Turn it over to him. If you're afraid that you're going to die, turn it over to him. He determines how long you live and when you die. Turn that fear over to him. I have an aunt and I love her. Oh, she's a wonderful lady. All of my life, I'm 52 years old, and my aunt Fela had said, I know one day I'm going to die from cancer. She's now 80-something years old. She's never gotten cancer. She might die from cancer. But she has lived in a 50-year fear, Andy, that she's going to get cancer. Now listen, first off, what are you going to do if you get it? You can't stop it. Don't let it dominate your life and don't live in a fear and a misery for 50 years that you don't have to live with. You know who owns the keys to life and death? The Lord Jesus, amen, and you're his child. So war, death, things like that you don't control, let the person who does control it. Put your trust in your resurrected Savior. Folks, now more than ever is the time to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Amen? Now's the time. Now's the time when he's been more mistreated than ever before. Now's the time when your faith has been tested. And by the way, fellow Christian, testing of your faith is not a bad thing. It causes your faith to grow if you handle it right. The death, the keys, and hell are all in the hand of the Lord. Trust in your resurrected Savior. Get over that fear. Start living again. You know when your time on earth, when the Lord is done with you, is a very... People ask me, when is the Lord done with me? It's a simple, simple answer. It has a different answer for everybody, but it's a simple equation. When this Lord's Supper table is moved to the side and your body is brought in here, you're done. Until that day when you take that last breath, the Lord has you on the earth for a reason. Live for him, amen? Rededicate yourself to trusting in the risen Savior. Can you do that? Say amen. Quit worrying about death. Quit worrying about fear. Quit worrying about disease. I didn't say to not go to the doctor. I didn't say don't tell Brother Jeff when you're sick or I can pray for you. That's not what I said. Don't let that fear dominate your life. Don't let it happen. Tim, it's interesting. It kind of goes back to this one word, faith. Fear and faith, they almost sound alike. You got to have faith. You got to trust in the resurrected Lord. Now, the second was the unexpected fear. Now, listen, I'm going to throw myself in the hat with you that struggle in your mind. Don't say it out loud, but struggle and unexpected. That call at night that you're not expecting. The pink slip instead of the envelope, you catch my drift. In other words, things that you were not expecting. A lot of times with those fears, you know what we do? If we're not careful, we blame God for those problems. I was talking to somebody the other day, great guy. And he said to me, he said, you know, Jeff, I'm not perfect, but in my realm of life, I feel like I'm closer to the Lord than I've ever been. And he shared some things with me that would lead to that being very true. And he said, it just seems like nothing's going right in my life. And after I had a conversation with him, I was able to redirect him on some things and say, well, you know, you've got this and you've got this and you've got this. He's like, yeah, you're right. I needed that. But here was the matter of fact. There were some unexpected things happening in his life that were truly unexpected. And he said, very interestingly, he said, you know, Jeff, when's the next shoe going to drop? In other words, what's next? That's an unexpected fear. Now, I'm telling you, I can't say that I haven't lived in fear of unexpected things. Who's in control of your life if you turn your life over to the Lord? Who lets in your life what you need in your life? Trusting. Almost the same answer, Randy, as the first one. It really kind of ties back again to trust in the resurrected Lord. But here I want you to trust in His redeeming love. Oh, the hymn says, the love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the love of God. The love of God is different than any love you'll ever experience in your life. We love other loves. And so God is love, and a lot of love comes from God. But trust in the redeeming love of God. God will not allow to happen in your life what you don't need to happen in your life if you're trusting and walking with Him. If you lost that job and you're walking with God, you need to go to another job. Who knows? You may have been on the verge of a heart attack. You may have been on the verge of a nervous breakdown and you didn't know how to get out of it and God just took you out of it. Now, you don't see that when it happens, do you? Those calls in the middle of the night when things happen in our families that we don't expect. By the way, there is no family that hasn't experienced that unless you're a very young family. And I love you, but I want to warn you, it will happen in your life one day where you hear something that you didn't expect to hear. I don't wish it on you. I'm just telling you. It's the process of life. How do you handle it? I have admiration for some people. If I called names, I'd get in trouble. Sitting in this building, I've looked at you two or three times during the sermon. I have been here with you when you have gone through horrific, unexpected fears come to fruition. You have gotten that phone call, and you have handled that phone call, in my opinion, brilliantly. With the Lord's help, you've handled it well. It may have left a scar. It may have left a wound. I'm not saying that it won't, but here's what I'm going to tell you. You can't live your life worrying about unexpected fears. You can't sit there by the phone every night waiting on it to ring. It'll drive you batty. Children, you raise your children up in the honor and the admonition of the Lord. That is a requirement for a Christian parent. Amen? You understand that? I'm not preaching on parenting today, but I'm telling you, you are responsible scripturally to raise your children a certain way. Not perfect. You're not expected to be perfect because you're human. You serve a perfect God, but you are expected to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. And you say, Brother Jeff, to the best of my knowledge, I'm certainly not perfect, but I've done that. Okay? There comes a time when those children become adults. And there comes a time when those children start making decisions that they were made to make, by the way. You reach a certain area where you grow up and they go on their own. Some of you today live in that fear. You can't do that. You put what they need in their hearts and in their lives, and then you know what you do? You turn it over and you say, Abba, Father. You say, God, take care of those children. Amy got back Friday from Alaska, had an awesome experience. And she's leaving Sunday to go to New Orleans. Talk about different, going from Alaska to New Orleans. Quite a geographical and quite a social difference. I mean, it's way different. And that's the beauty of this trip for her. She's going to experience a little of everything God has to offer. Here's all I can do now. Just pray for her. We've prayed and we believe that's where she's supposed to be. I can't sit there and worry while that plane's in the air. That's my natural inclination. Notice I said natural. That's a natural person. That's not the godly person. It worries. She comes in there. She says, Dad, you know, we have to take this course on sex trafficking. And I said, yeah, I don't know a whole lot about sex trafficking too much. I haven't had a whole lot of dealings with it. She said, well, and she began to tell me how it's a horrible epidemic in Alaska. And I'm thinking, glad I didn't know that before you went to Alaska, but tell me all about it. And she said, you know, it's interesting, we're going to New Orleans. And she said, I tell you, you never should be alone and without twos because they have a system where they distract the person. And she said, Dad, and this is, you got to know my daughter. She just, sometimes I just, wow. She said, and Dad, here's the deal. When we took the class, she said, they really like to focus on teenage and younger women that look like girls, and she said that are about 5 foot, 5 foot one is their stereotype. And I went, what is your size? And so Kim's just sitting there listening and nodding her head and soaking it in, and Peyton is, and immediately I'm like, oh, Lord. And I'm sitting there with a fake smile thinking, you're not going to New Orleans. But here's the deal. You can bet your bohunkus that the second before she walks on this plane, she is going to have a speech with her daddy. And what am I going to tell her? You better stay in groups of two like that man said. You better not be running off to get coffee at the grocery store. You're now walking. Yes, I'm going to do it. You know why I'm going to do that? Because I'm a parent. But Eddie, you know what I'm going to do after that? I'm not going to tell a child they can't go and do the mission work of the Lord. You get on that plane and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, God, oh, watch my baby. Watch my baby. I can't be there. I can't take a police officer with her. You just, when she gets ready to be stupid and wander off, knock her down. Do something. Stop her from, listen, it goes out of Jeff's hands. And that unexpected fear has to be tossed over to the Lord. And it's a big one. And some of you here today, you understand, you catch my drift. Yours is not that, but it's other things. Trust in the redeeming love of God. The fact that the Lord would choose her to do the work of the Lord as her father, I will not stand in the way of a person's call to do the Lord's work. God will take care of you. Turn them over. Here's the last one. Look at Psalms 27 and verse 1. Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I've told you before, I'm a very nice guy, and I'm sensitive toward anybody's difficulty. I am. Anybody's ever come in my office, no, look, if you just be honest with me, I try to help you. And listen, if you tell me something that you think will bother me or intimidate, it doesn't. Anybody's been with me knows. Just, I can't help you if you won't tell me what the problem is. And I know the phobia of fear grips a lot of people. And I'm not minimizing those fears. I get it. I understand it. I want to tell you something. If the Lord is your light, what are you afraid of? Let Him take care of that fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What does light do? It pushes out darkness. Men are afraid of the dark. We're even more queasy in the dark, aren't we? We go to store at night, and I try to keep my girls from doing just that. But times and things happen. We go at night, we're a little more nervous. We try to find parking spots where it's better lit. I was talking to my wife. She went to the hospital the other day in the parking garage, and it's the funniest thing. She said, I want to talk to you while I'm in the parking garage walking to my car. And I said, you know, it is the funniest thing. Parking garages are about the creepiest thing ever made. You know why? When you go to certain areas and you walk around a parking garage, it's dark and it's blocked and you ain't going nowhere. It's really at night, and I do it a lot. It's heebie-jeebie. You're on the lookout. You think I can't run? Start chasing after me and watch me go down that ramp. I'm ready. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Light pushes out darkness, and then He becomes your Savior. Don't you ever forget that word salvation and Savior. It's what it's all about. I hear people say, Jesus is my best friend. I have a hard time with that. And I think they mean well by it. And if that's what you think, you know, I know the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm not sitting here saying He's not your friend, but He is also not your buddy that you go hand in hand everywhere with. Let me tell you what He is for you, okay? He saved you from an eternity in hell. Amen? He saves you when you make big mistakes. He takes care of you when you do the wrong thing. Jesus is your Savior. When I think of the word Savior, you know what I think of? I think of somebody out in a body of water that's drowning. And someone throws them a life raft or a life vest or something where, Randy, if they don't have something to grab, they're going down. And that object saves them from drowning. That's exactly what your Savior does. So the last thing I want you to trust in is His revealing light to conquer your fears. The light of the world is Jesus. Those unfounded fears, which by my estimate are 90% of your fears. You won't find that in the Bible, so that's me. But 90% of your fears, whatever, the large portion of the fears that you have in your life, trust in Jesus to be the light. Trust in Jesus to help you through that difficult experience. The Lord has probably put you in that experience for a reason. The last thing I want you to remember is this. A lot of the things you fear never happen. I'll give you one of my fears when I was younger. I did not like roller coasters when I was younger. I had got my cousin Charles. We had went to the county fair. And they had the squirrel's cage, you know, the thing around. And I got in there and threw up all over me and all over everybody in that thing. And I said, I won't ever be on anything like that again. I don't need it. Well, here was the deal. Todd, I became a teenager, and the youth group went to Disney. Well, I wasn't going to be uncool in front of any girl there. And I said, let's go get on what's that one in the dark? It's the one they've had forever. What is it? Space Mountain. Yeah. I never seen nothing like that come from Arkansas. She said, will you ride it with me? I said, yeah. And I'm like, no. Yeah. And so, you know, we get on this thing and boy, it's in the dark. And all I could see was the tracks that go right over your head. And when you're coming down, it looks like it's going to decapitate you. You know, you just kind of go down and here's the deal. The whole way that we're walking up there, and back then, unless I guess you can use fast passes now, you know, you wait an hour, hour and a half to get on the ride, so you're in fear. You don't want anybody to know you're in fear, and you're having to sit and face the fear for an hour and a half as it gets one person, and you're praying, I wish the thing would shut down. You know, that some guy's, we got a problem here. Awesome. On to the next thing. Didn't happen. Guess what happened? I got on Space Mountain. I loved it. The rush. I wrote it again and again and again. And then I believe it was Busch Gardens. I can't remember which one, but the one without the footless rope where you don't have a bottom on the roller coaster and your feet dangle. I said, I got to do that. And I did it. Guess what? Awesome. Now, Father Time has laid a whooping on me. I'm 52 in 2 weeks, and now, because of medicines and different things that I take, it's not wise to do the roller coaster things anymore. Now, if you challenge me, I'm still an idiot 17-year-old. If my copper says, you're not man enough to get on out, I say, and I'll go and I'll throw up on him when I get out. But here's the deal. I spent many, many, many years of fun times doing something that I had a legitimate fear of. And guess what? There was no reason to be afraid. You're not going to fall off of them. The bar's not going to hit you in the head. You're fine. Face the fears that you have and put those fears and turn them over to the Lord. No one here, I don't care who you are. We have Eddie over here. I referred to my friend at a restaurant that I call him Jason Bourne. He really is. This guy can fight and do anything. He's a human being, and I know if you dig into his inner core, there's fear somewhere in his body. There's fear in my body. The Bible doesn't say you get rid of all of them and ask you to cast them on him, but it doesn't say it disappears. Matter of fact, some people tell you it's good to have a little bit of fear in your life. I don't know I agree with that, but there's a lot of people you'll talk to say, well, you need to have a little bit, it'll keep you, whatever. Everybody's got some. Does it control your life? I don't want you to say out loud, that's not at all what my sermon's about. I want you to cast it over to him. Is you have a fear like the lion? Is it an undisguised fear? I mean, right on, it's just a fear that you have to do head on. And death, whatever it might be, maybe it's that. You may say, Brother Jeff, well, that one's not mine. Okay, good. How about the unplanned fears? If you're good at accepting those, boy, you really have got a pretty good grasp on fear. But these unfounded fears, like the dragon. Isn't it funny we hear everything about dragons? We make movies about dragons. They're mythical in the belief system of dragons. You haven't seen a dragon. You haven't. Who was the Disney guy that flew on the dragon? What was his name? Does anybody know? I remember watching it with a kid. Who? No. It doesn't really matter. Somebody flew on a dragon. Pete the Dragon guy. Yeah, I watched that with one of my grandkids. I thought to myself, really cool. But guess what? Pete didn't fly on a dragon. Only at Disney World. Because the dragons don't exist. Some of these fears that Satan has locked into your being don't exist. And they're ruining your life. And they're stopping you from being the person that God created you to be. And there is no reason to have fear. Tom, the first thing that comes to my mind is soul winning. Soul winning is talking to someone else. If you can walk up to me right now, if no one were in here and you can walk up to me and talk to me, you can soul win. It's that simple. It's a conversation. Know what you're going to talk about and go and share the love of God and the beautiful thing about God, the mistakes that you think you're going to make. He takes your words and he blesses it. But 95 out of 100 people, if you walk up to them and say, let's go knock on every door on such and such, not me. Not going to do it. Why not? Well, I can't talk to people like that. You talk to people all the time. See, that's an unfounded fear. You do it every day with people. Let's just hit home. If you can talk football with people, you sure ought to be able to talk Jesus. Amen? If you can, as the bumper sticker says, ask me about my grandchildren. When you see that, run from that person, by the way. But when you talk to them, and they spend 30 minutes telling you everything you really didn't want to know. You're just trying to be nice. If you can do that, you can tell others about Jesus. There's no fear. It's unfounded. Turn it over to Jesus. Trust in his goodness. Trust in his death and resurrection. Trust in his love. And trust in the revealing light of the Lord. And your life will never be the same. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we stand for our hymn of invitation. I remember watching Andy Griffith on TV one time, and Barney had to get his gun, he had to make a certain amount of points with his gun or he was going to lose his job as a deputy. And Andy kept saying to Barney, he said, Barney, just go out there and shoot. You do it all the time. You won't have any problems. And he says, let me tell you what your problem is, Barney. He says, you're fearful. And if you watch the show, you know what Barney says? I'm not fearful. I'm just cautious. And at the end of the show, Barney shoots and he hits it wide open and gets all excited. And he reaches in his pocket to wipe his brow. And what falls out? Four-leaf clovers, all kinds of teeth and different things. He really and truly lived in a superstitious fear. And a matter of fact, was those teeth and those four-leaf clovers didn't help him shoot. It was an unfounded fear. What's keeping you from being the Christian that God created you to be? What fear is it? What fear is keeping you from being the father that God created you to be? What fear is keeping you from being the wife or the husband that God created you to be? We all have them. I'm telling you, I know of not one person that walks this earth that doesn't have some kind of fear issue in their life. You may say, I'm cautious. No, you fear. You say, all right, Brother Jeff, you hit me right between the eyes. I know I have it. What do I do? Turn it over to him today. Be free in Christ. Turn it over. You don't even need to sit and debate whether it's unfounded. You know, that's really not important. Whether it's the dragon or the lion or the serpent, just turn it over to him. And let the Lord have a sweet way. Maybe there's someone here today that needs Jesus as their Savior. You can't fight these fears without Jesus on your side. I say this every Sunday, and I mean it. Forget what I preached on. Take care of what you need to take care of. Maybe there's someone looking for a church home. I don't mention that except on Sunday morning. I don't go when people come to church and say, hey, when are you going to join? I don't do that. I don't believe in doing that. But let me tell you this. If you're here today and you want to be a part of a church, what you see is what you get. There is no fancy undertow around here. Okay? This is it. And you say, you know, I feel comfortable in here. Now, you may want to meet with me and to go over some stuff. I'm okay with that before you do it. But if you're looking for a church, make it happen. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let the Lord have a sweet way.